Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's Brian Lehrer, and this is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Friday, March 20th. In this new phase of self-quarantine and mandated social distancing, it's increasingly going to be you, essential workers, who keep the city, the state, the region, the country running and at risk. We express over and over again our deep appreciation to those of you who need to go out to work. And again, here's a short list of the kinds of work that are deemed essential: taking care of the sick and elderly, obviously, grocery store work, keeping the pharmacies open, keeping the trains running, maintenance work, sanitation. Construction is controversial now, but they're out there. The list goes on. There are a lot of you. We see you. We want to make sure that you're getting the protections you need or help contribute to seeing that you get them in ways that we can. We had a call yesterday that I'm going to replay a little bit of as an example from a worker at Newark Airport asking this.
I work at Newark Airport, and things seems like everything's fine. No gloves, no mask, no nothing. So I'd like to know, who should we talk to about this?
Who's your employer at Newark Airport?
United.
And to be honest, we didn't have a good answer for Lena from Scotch Plains. So we wanted to do a follow-up and get that answer and also provide a couple of guests who are going to come on with me now to answer questions about protection and other essential things from people who are essential workers and out there still being asked to work not from home. So joining me now are Elizabeth Joynes Jordan, supervising attorney at the Workplace Justice Team with Make the Road New York. That's the largest progressive grassroots immigrant-led organization in New York State. So many of these essential workers are immigrants, but they don't just represent immigrants. And Charlene Obernauer, executive director at the New York Committee for Occupational Safety and Health, or NICOSH. NICOSH is a membership organization of workers, unions, community-based organizations, workers' rights activists, and health and safety professionals. So, Elizabeth and Charlene, thank you so much for coming on with us. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
Thank you.
First of all, Elizabeth, do you by any chance have an answer for Lena, the caller from yesterday, who feels she's not getting the protective gear that she needs from United Airlines at Newark?
Yes, Brian, we know that there are thousands of workers who are being forced to work overtime on the front lines of the crisis, not only at airports, but in delivery, in warehouses, in healthcare, and they do not have access to meaningful protections. This is where we really need the government to step in to make sure that they are provided with the very basic safety protection that they need to keep them safe.
If there aren't even enough masks and gloves for doctors and nurses at this point, can airport workers and cashiers expect to get the supplies they need?
The safety nets that are available are totally inadequate. We need to really rethink the protections that we're providing to these workers who are out on the front lines. Beyond safety equipment, we see people who are unable to care for their families. They're not able to even stay home from work to take care of themselves or sick family members. So I think it goes beyond access to safety equipment, but we think that the government really needs to step in to provide the basic protection.
Charlene Obernauer, do you want to tell our listeners a little bit more about what NICOSH does and what role you're playing at this time? Again, NICOSH stands for the New York Committee for Occupational Safety and Health.
Thanks, Brian. Absolutely. Well, we're busy to say the least. We've been getting a lot of questions, a lot of calls from our members and from people who are just members of the community, workers in the community who want to know how they can stay safe. So we've been proactively setting up a series of virtual webinars, a virtual training for workers so that they can ask the questions that they need answered and so that we can present the information that we have. For example, to directly answer the question that the airport worker asked yesterday, they are required, employers are required to provide gloves. They are required to provide personal protective equipment. And not doing so is a violation of OSHA standards, and OSHA would be the correct agency to call in that scenario. Also, if
that's
that employer...
Federal Occupational Safety and Health Administration, right?
Yes, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. And, of course, OSHA is you know, stretched to their limits right now, but calling OSHA and getting that log and getting that complaint is really important as we monitor this crisis. And furthermore, if that worker was represented by a union, going to their union to say, I wasn't provided with the personal protective equipment that I need, I wasn't provided with gloves, what can I do in this situation, would be really helpful because unions do have ways in which they can intervene and can play a helpful role.
And there have been reports from Trader Joe's employees, for example, who say their employers are giving them mixed messages about whether or not they can wear protective gear. They can only wear protective gloves with a doctor's note, according to a BuzzFeed News article yesterday. We can't independently confirm that, but there it is on BuzzFeed. What do you say to essential employees about protective gear that they even may bring in, and what should they do in general if they don't feel safe?
Well, first of all, I think that workers need to know that they have the absolute right to wear protective gear. It's the employer's responsibility to conduct a hazard assessment that says, what is the risk involved? And based on the risk, do workers need to wear personal protective equipment? And given the risk of potentially infectious people coming with COVID-19 into grocery stores, into other retail facilities, workers should have the right and should exercise that right to wear personal protective equipment. I will say something that might be somewhat controversial, which is that, you know, gloves and other PPE don't always offer, you know, significant additional protection. So if you touch your face while wearing gloves, there's the same risk of infection as if you touch your face with bare skin. So, you know, also gloves, they shouldn't be reused regularly. They also have to be removed properly. So, you know, I want people to do what they need to do to feel safe, and oftentimes they do need to wear gloves and protect themselves, but also to take those proper precautions when they're wearing gloves to make sure that they're not just wearing gloves and then they have the same pair of gloves on for 5 hours while they're touching their face, while they're touching potentially infectious materials, and then it's the same as if you had your regular hands.
Let's take a phone call. Mo in Nassau County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mo.
Hi, Brian. This is Mo. So I'm a UPS driver. We're trying to clean. UPS, they're not giving any PPE, nothing. The only reason I have some stuff because I'm a volunteer firefighter, and the union trying to help a lot and trying to push them to do this, but they're not doing anything. And the building is just really, like, if you see the building, the warehouse, like, everybody's there. They're saying, oh, the only reason they're giving us those papers to keep distance, but they're not practicing what they're preaching.
Elizabeth, I'm going to give this to you from Make the Road. We had an Amazon activist yesterday. This whole category, Mo is a UPS driver. Delivery people are essential right now with stay at home. We're being told to get things delivered and not go to stores. So there's this whole universe of delivery workers. I don't have to tell you. And so Mo is telling his story. I know some Amazon workers walked out. I believe they walked out from a Queens facility yesterday over safety issues. What about the delivery workers in general, and what is Make the Road doing as an activist group that supports them?
Brian, well, we know that workers are being put really between a rock and a hard place. They're, you know, forced to be out on the front lines like these delivery workers without the meaningful protections that we just heard about because of the lack of protections for workers during this crisis. You know, they need income, and they have no access to other income supports that many other people in the middle class may be entitled to, immigrant workers are being left out of the policies that have been passed so far in the state, which are totally inadequate. You know, our members are worried about how to pay rent, how to pay for food. So many of them are forced to take these jobs on the front line without protections. We really need to create a fund to help the workers who otherwise fall through the cracks of these other supports because of their immigration status or because they're working off the books.
Steve in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Steve.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. I'm actually calling on behalf of my wife, who is a public health care worker in one of the city hospitals. She's currently pregnant, and there seems to be little guidance for her in terms of how and what provisions are being made or can be made for public health care workers who are pregnant, who need to obviously maintain their level of health and ensure the health of their pregnancy. We are talking to our union. We are talking to as many people as possible, but the answers are really hard to come by right now.
Charlene at NICOSH.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first I want to say I'm sorry for that situation. That sounds really stressful, especially with her being pregnant. And I think that one thing that we definitely know is that there need to be accommodations made for pregnant women who are working on the job. So those accommodations may look different for someone who could potentially be exposed to people with COVID-19, especially if they're in the healthcare setting. So I'm glad to hear that you're working with your union to figure out what those accommodations might look like and what those accommodations need to be, because she should be taking additional precautions and she should be having her situation accommodated for by her employer. So continuing to work with the employer and continuing to work with the union to make sure that she's accommodated for, I think, is essential at this time. But I imagine that it's really stressful and really difficult to figure out what the right avenue is. And I'm sorry you're going through that.
Steve, good luck. I hope that was helpful. Here is a Verizon employee calling without a name, but that's okay. Verizon employee, you're on WNYC.
Hello, how are you?
Okay, how are you?
Yes, my question is, what can be done to have the company not have employees go on non-essential calls, basically speed upgrades, cable box changes, winning customers over from other large, you know, video data corporations. Because as of right now, as of this week, they're sending us in people's homes as field technicians to, you know, do everything under the sun, basically. I mean, they're sending us emails that only essential work is being done, but that seems to be untrue right now.
Elizabeth, what's essential work? In this case, I certainly can see why people need their lifelines of internet service and phone. And, you know, of course, television comes with that as well, but at least internet service and phone, I don't know if that's being deemed essential by the government. I haven't seen it one way or the other. But what do you think about that, and what can you advise this Verizon employee?
You know, I think it really highlights that the solutions and protections that have been passed so far are way too little. We need to provide protections for people who feel like they should stay at home to protect themselves and their families and their communities. And the leave policies that we have in place are just inadequate.
Verizon employee, I hope that's helpful. I'm going to move on. Megan in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Megan.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, Brian. I'm just wondering, there's a lot of advice for workers about protective measures their employers should be taking, but my family's in the food industry, and I'm wondering if your panel has any advice on where to get those protective measures, as there's a terrible shortage of masks, hand sanitizers, gloves, et cetera.
Charlene?
Well, employers are required to provide personal protective equipment to employees. If they're not providing them for you, that's definitely something that you can report. But I think, like, concretely, what I would recommend workers do...
I'm sorry, you've misunderstood my question.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Try it again, Megan.
It's from the employer's side. You're telling you're saying that employers need to provide this. But as everybody knows, there's an extreme shortage of masks, hand sanitizer, et cetera. So where do employers find these measures that you're saying that employees need? We all agree that they need them, but where do the employers get those supplies?
Fair question.
Right. Well, it depends on the employer. In hospitals, there is a national stockpile where they're being provided with masks, with gloves, with gowns, which the federal government needs to make sure that different cities and different states are having access to. But for smaller employers, they're getting them from the same places that we're getting them. So if Amazon is sold out, if your local 99-cent store is sold out, you know, these employers, when they're smaller in operation, like potentially a restaurant that's now doing takeout, like a grocery store that maybe is a mom-and-pop shop, these employers really are probably struggling to try to find where can they access this equipment. And that's a great role for the city and for the state to step in to make sure, you know, that we do have this protective equipment. I will say we've heard a lot about which, of course, we need to make sure that our hospital and our healthcare workers are being taken care of with the right personal protective equipment that they need. We've heard about shortages in hospitals, but we've heard less about shortages for other workers, shortages for restaurant workers who are now doing delivery, for supermarket workers. And that's also an area in which the city and state really needs to make sure that all workers are protected, that all workers who have to report to work, that our essential employees do have that personal protective equipment.
Let's take another phone call. Eden in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hello, Eden.
I just wanted to say I'm a dentist in Manhattan, and I have friends who are doctors in the city, including emergency room doctors. And they told me that they, which is what you're talking about, they need masks, including surgical masks that dentists use. So I donated whatever I could spare, but I just want to encourage any dentists who have masks, gloves, other infection barrier products to just go through your inventory and donate whatever you can right now. And then by the time we're able to see regular patients again, I'm sure we'll be able to get supplies. But we're not going to be seeing non-emergency patients for at least a month or two. So I'm encouraging my colleagues to really go through your inventory and donate whatever you possibly can right now. And any other type of workers who have masks or gloves or things like that, but specifically dentists who generally have a lot of this stuff in their stock, to really donate it right now. And then to just stay home and treat your patients by phone as much as possible.
That's a wonderful thought, Eden. That's so generous. Not just a wonderful thought, but a wonderful act that you took. How much do you need to keep for yourself? Because some people really need dental work if a tooth is blowing up, right?
Yeah, but even if we just see emergency patients, we're not going to see more than, I mean, if you keep six boxes, I mean, you're going to be fine, I think.
Thank you, most people
can have 10, 20 boxes. Take the rest, you know, but there'll be a supply line starting up again. We'll be able to get them again, but the need is right now, so... I think keep a few and then donate the rest.
Thank you so much. Elizabeth, do you think there's any way that something like that could be organized? I don't know if a central clearinghouse for dentists donating their excess masks or whatever the right venue or definition of that would actually be, but that something could be organized rather than it just being on a one-off basis like she did?
Yes, Brian, and, you know, Charlene may also have thoughts about this, but I think community organizations are eager to work with city and state government to coordinate on-the-ground solutions for our community members and make these things accessible to the people that need them most.
Pete in Nassau County, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes, hi. How are you? I am a gig worker doing grocery deliveries for a couple different companies here in Nassau. And I have some concern for myself, but I guess I'm more concerned about potentially spreading the disease to customers or other people in the store. I mean, but yet I feel like I'm helping people that are stuck at home, elderly people are just single mothers home with their kids that can't go to the grocery store. So I feel a little conflicted as to whether I should continue to work or not.
I think you should continue to work. But, I mean, unless you think you're COVID-19 positive, anybody could be... Go ahead.
I don't... I'm not symptomatic, but... And I haven't been exposed to anyone as far as I know. But they say you can spread it even when you're not mm-hmm. symptomatic and you can't get tested. So, I mean, I'm taking precautions as much as I can. And... I mean, I guess that's what I'm just going to continue to do for now. But I don't know.
Let's see what Elizabeth from Make the Road thinks about this, because I know your group represents so many delivery workers. What are you advocating for? How are you advising the many delivery people that you represent at Make the Road, both to protect themselves and make this very difficult choice of sort of taking a personal risk for society? Or in Pete's case, he frames it a little different. He's willing to take the risk, but is afraid of exposing his clients.
I think, you know, again, I would like to just highlight that, yes, many, many workers right now are really having a difficult decision because they are concerned for their own health and their family's health and the wider community health as we're all being urged to stay at home. But many have no other means of survival and don't have a way to feed their families or pay their rent if they are out of work. I think we really need to think outside of the box about increasing protections so that workers can make decisions and be able to stay at home when they do get sick or their family members get sick or they feel like they may have been exposed if they are out there working on the front lines. So while representatives on the federal level are proposing cash assistance to families, including millionaires, they're so mean-spirited that they're trying to cut out the tax-paying immigrants who pay taxes using an ITIN, and it's really making it impossible for people to make responsible and safe decisions.
And Charlene, let me get a last word for you on this. We are at this impossible moment of people having to take individual risks for the benefit of society and asking for reasonable protections from employers and others at a time of shortages. So where do we go from here?
Well, we need to develop funds for all of these workers who aren't able to go into work and who need to make that decision to prioritize their health. So I know the governor just announced today that nail salons and barbershops and all of these other facilities will be closed as of 8 p.m. on Saturday. We need to support the Nail Salon Worker Relief Fund, which has just been announced this morning to support nail salon workers who are impacted as a result of these closures. There's also the Restaurant Worker Relief Fund, the relief fund that Elizabeth mentioned earlier, and there's a Domestic Worker Relief Fund. So all of these different workers really need access to resources, access to funds. I know that we have some conversation around universal basic income at the city level proposed by Cory Johnson and then at the federal level as well. But we really need to think about how can we be supporting each other? How can we be supporting workers? And for those of us like myself who can work from home and who can do work from home and still have the benefit of my full salary, we need to be out there supporting workers who are at the front lines every day, who are, you know, both going in to work and putting themselves at risk, and workers who can't come into work and workers who can't work from home.
All right. Elizabeth joins Jordan, supervising attorney at the Workplace Justice Team, Make the Road New York, the largest progressive grassroots immigrant-led organization in New York State, and Charlene Obernauer, executive director at the New York Committee for Occupational Safety and Health, NICOSH. Thank you both very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is obviously also a Daily Coronavirus podcast under the circumstances in our country right now. We'll keep staying on top of things to serve you the best we can. And remember, this podcast is excerpted from my live weekday call-in show, The Brian Lehrer Show. If you want to be a caller or just hear it live, it's from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time on WNYC Radio in New York or online at WNYC.org. You can also tweet a question at us anytime. Just tweet at Brian Lehrer. Thanks for listening today.